This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Brady's in the gun. Colley and Tompkins left. Brady throws it to the end zone for Kenbrell. Tompkins leaping.
He caught it! Touchdown! Patriots!
Kenbrell Tompkins!
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
Brady in the pocket. Tom fires toward the end zone and a tumbling grab is made. Touchdown! Rob Gronkowski!
Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots are in Orchard Park, New York, to take on the Buffalo Bills.
Patriots trailing by three. Sets up with a throw to the right side. Catch made by Edelman. Turns to the end zone. Oh! And he runs it past the five. He dives to the end zone. Touchdown! And the lead for the Patriots.
Now, Mark, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Welcome, everybody, to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Scott Sudikoff here with you, filling in for Mark Bertrand, who is away on assignment, as we always say, this weekend.
On assignment, or he's getting drunk at a wedding?
Getting drunk at a wedding.
Yeah, getting drunk at a wedding. Of course, that is Andy Hart of Patriots Football Weekly.
Of course,
Weekly.
They all know that.
Of course. I'm just jumping
I'm
right
drunk
in.
Interrupting.
And that is the great Jackie Britton, who went minor league this year and bust it to Buffalo yesterday.
Wow.
And not surprisingly, wasn't happy when I texted her last night to ask her how it went. Bottle of wine, I said. She said, no, beef jerky. 7 hours, a bus, and some beef jerky.
Mm-mm-mm. And along with Andy Hart, of course, we have Paul Perillo.
Hi, Scott.
Joining us once again. Hey, it's good to be back. It's been a while.
It's good to have you back.
Good to see how long
it takes Andy to start beating up on you.
Yeah, we'll see. But 855-PATS-500 is the number. Web radio at patriots.com. Make sure you use the hashtag PPGS on Twitter. Facebook.com/New England Patriots. You can find us all over the place as we come to you live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots and Bills this afternoon up in Old Orchard Park, New York. Is it up in? I guess it's up and over in Buffalo this afternoon. And
up over.
Up over to
he
the left.
He fits right in with us.
Up over and to the left.
He interrupted himself mid-sentence.
Oh, yeah.
For no reason.
Nah. Nah, that's how I roll.
Guess what?
What's up?
According to reports out of ESPN, Tom Brady's going to play today.
Yeah, no shock there, right? I mean, where did he hurt his ankle? In practice?
Friday. Accordingly, he rolled it on the foot of one of his interior offensive linemen. So even on the practice field, those effers are screwing him.
Yeah, according to Schefter.
I'd blame Jordan Devey. Let's just blame Jordan Devey. He was in for a rep, and Brady, he probably hurt Brady. Let's just go with it.
How much do you worry about Brian Stork not being in the lineup this week after the strides they made last week on the line?
I am not terribly worried. I'm guessing Ryan Wendell will bump into center, and everybody seems to be assuming that Cannon will bump back into the starting lineup. It's not ideal because the offensive line has obviously been something they've been having issues with early in the season, and maybe their best performance last week was Wendell and Stork in there. In the last couple weeks, I think people have felt good about Stork. But, you know, it is what it is, as the coach once said, or 1 billion times said.
Yeah, I'm not. I agree with Andy too. I'm not overly concerned about Stork. Now, would it be better if he was in there? Yeah, of course. I think there was a promising start last week with that five, and I would have liked to have seen that five stay together. It doesn't look like that's going to happen, but I feel like Marcus Cannon's a better player than he played in the first month of the season. I think that he probably would be the guy that steps in, and I'm not. Terribly concerned. Although Buffalo's front, especially if Kyle Williams can play, that's a good tandem with Darius and Williams. So, it'd be better to have Stork out there and see if he could build off of what they started last week. But it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean that Buffalo front seven is what is probably the biggest thing to watch in this game is how the offensive line can handle that.
No question, especially the interior. Kyle Williams looks like he's going to be back, even though he might be limited. Darius and Belichick even admitted this, kind of taking the next step into becoming the player he probably should have been sooner as the number 3 overall pick in the draft. 5 sacks. active in the run and the pass. So, yeah, there's a challenge there from the interior of that line, and we know Brandon Spikes will be a part of that. He will be running straight ahead into anything that moves between the guards, essentially. So, yeah, there's a challenge there.
I have to wonder what they'll do with Brandon Spikes, Buffalo will do defensively, because it seems like, as you kind of said, he wants to just run headfirst into a wall, and he's probably hoping that wall is Tom Brady this afternoon. So the Patriots will obviously be waiting for that and have to expect play action, misdirection kind of stuff to get Buffalo off the scent, probably early in this game.
No question. You know, I think it's been sort of common theme for everybody this week that I've heard play action pass early in the game to get Gronk or Tim Wright or one of those guys behind Brandon Spikes who will be frothing at the mouth. You know, even sort of added to the story this week by saying, yes, he believes he was suspended late last year when he was put on IR, that was a suspension. So, you know, he's an emotional guy who's probably going to be even more emotional. I liked how he said, you know, I'll lean on my teammates to rein me in. So, like,
he's not even making any false pretenses about trying to stay under control.
He's not even saying,
oh, my teammates,
I'm not going to try to stay in control, but, you know, maybe Darius or Mario will slap me around and tell me to.
He's good for 15 yardage.
Oh, certainly. At least a forearm in somebody's throat coming. It better not be my guy, James Devlin, who has already had an issue there with his throat earlier in the year.
Practice.
You stay away, Spikes, you dirty SOB.
He got hit in practice.
I'm over here.
The play action thing is funny, though, because that has. That's been widespread this week.
But even like Matt Chatham, who, you know, fancies himself a sort of a knowledgeable footballer, doesn't fall in line with the media narratives of the week. Oh, I bet there'll be a play action pass. Well, thanks, Matt. Thanks for breaking it down X and O style.
I'll bet there will be too. You know why? Because there's, you know, 8 or 10 of them every week, every game. But that's one of those things, you know, play action. Brady is, you know, whatever, 74% for, you know, 8 million yards. If it were as easy as just, you know, having success throwing the ball on play action, you'd play action all the time. It's like Bill says, if that magic number of runs that we need to go 68-0, we just run the ball the first, you know, 16 plays of every game.
Oh, we got it. We win.
We guarantee victory.
Put the backups in.
It doesn't work like that. You have to establish something offensively to allow the different elements of your game to work. If you just ran the ball every play for 25 plays, you probably wouldn't be all that successful doing it.
All right, let's jump right into it. So we've already started talking about this, but let's talk about the keys to the game, Patriots and Bills, this afternoon.
You've waited all week for it.
Oh, I can't wait.
Here are Andy and Paul's keys to the game.
I guess I'll start off.
Go for it.
I guess I'll start off where I think we've started off for almost 5 straight weeks now. The offensive line. You know, I know we've sort of poo-pooed that it might be a big deal to have Stork out of the lineup, have Cannon, if that's the guy, back in there. But they have a challenge this week either way. Even with Stork out there, I think the challenge was a defensive line that's good against the run, has 17 sacks, tied for the NFL lead. They are the strength of that front, especially if Kyle Williams is going to be a little bit back to his expectations as a Pro Bowl caliber player, with Darius, with Phil Hughes, who's kind of made a name for himself after busting out in Indy.
Oh, Jerry.
Jerry Hughes, not Phil.
Yeah.
That'd be another. Is it?
No.
I didn't think so. He's made a name for himself after busting out with the Yankees. Wasn't he the one who got
Phil
screwed?
Phil Hughes is in Minnesota. Right. He had a good year for
got
him.
Got screwed by a third of an inning out of like his $500,000 bonus because it rained and the final game was rained.
I didn't know that story.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Mario Williams, that is the strength of this front, and we know the weakness of the Patriots team through 5 games has been offensive line. So, Hogg, Hannah, Wendell, and company need to get it done up front.
Always a good one. We've been using that one on a weekly basis, Scott. So I will go with the other side, and I'm going to say they need to stop the run because that's what Buffalo wants to do offensively, and that has periodically been a problem for the Patriots this season. I didn't think they were great against the run last week, even in a blowout win over Cincinnati. Obviously, the offense prevented Cincinnati from continuing to run Gio Bernard. So that kind of got him out of whack a little bit, and the defense recovered. But you know they want to run Fred Jackson. You know, we know how dangerous C.J. Spiller is. He hasn't really gotten on track yet this season. He hasn't been. He had one really good game against Miami, I think, in week 2. Other than that, he's been pretty quiet. But he, to me, is a guy that the Patriots have periodically, they've done well with him. Last year, they did really well with him. But every once in a while, he can hit you. He's the kind of back that can really take one of those 5-yard passes, and all of a sudden, it's a 40-yard gain. Good kick returner, good all-purpose guy, and definitely a big play threat. So I think Patriots got to figure out their front seven, figure out how they want to employ it. You know, with Chandler Jones, do the reps go up this week? Last week I thought he was limited with that shoulder. And then do they want to play with four-man fronts and go from there? But whatever they choose to do, Buffalo wants to run the ball and allow Kyle Orton to sort of throw when he wants to throw instead of when he has to. So that, to me, is the key.
Yeah, you mentioned Buffalo wanting to run the ball, 20th in the league in rushing offense. C.J. Spiller, though, just 3.5 yards per carry.
He hasn't done it. He hasn't done it so far.
He sort of flipped the switch. Was it last year or the year before that he averaged like 6.7 yards a carry through like the first five games?
Yeah.
And this year it's the exact opposite. He's not hitting it. And Fred Jackson, who, by the way, is questionable with a ankle injury.
And they want to limit him, I guess.
They got some issues there in the backfield. They do want to run. Now, I think with the veteran quarterback, I don't think Kyle Orton would be opposed to throwing it more. You know,
threw it 43 times last week. So.
He's happy. He's been throwing it all his career.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're managing
certainly
it necessarily.
Certainly did for Josh when he was playing for Josh.
You're not managing it the same way you would have or were under EJ Manuel. But they want to run the ball. And to me, the two ways you lose this game by the Patriots, I know there's a lot of strengths and all that for Buffalo. There's things they're good at. That defense is good. But I think the ways you lose the game are Spiller and Watkins hitting big plays. You know, I'm not afraid of Woods. You know, he can catch 10 passes for all I care. I don't think he's going to beat me. I think Fred Jackson can have a solid game. You know, another 92.8 yards per game from scrimmage like he's had over his career against Patriots. I don't think he's going to beat me. Those other two can beat me.
I agree with you about Woods. Woods, to me, is one of those guys that gets receptions but doesn't make a lot of plays. So I'd be perfectly content if they wanted to force feed the ball to him. Mike Williams has done very little. He had one 80-yard touchdown that I was watching in the game that we played on the Monday night. So that against Houston, I think it was. But very few catches at all, and certainly hasn't been an impact player at all. It's all Sammy Watkins, and then they get Jackson and Spiller involved out of the backfield. Scott Chandler is a guy who has given them the Patriots some problems in the past, but to me, it's the big plays. I think Andy's right. You got to make sure that Spiller doesn't ruin the game for you. And Watkins, I would assume, is going to have a lot of Darrell Revis on him. So I'm not anticipating him ruining the game. So to me, it's Spiller.
Is that going to be, percentage-wise, what's the Darrell Revis on Sammy Watkins straight up? What percentage of the game do you think you'll see that one-on-one? You know, like, you're giving me a Belichick answer. Took me a second.
I just really don't really agree with it.
It was a question.
Come back to the 40th call.
Is that a question? Sorry.
I don't agree with your question.
I felt, and again, no disrespect to a guy who obviously knows the game inside and out and would embarrass me in a game of football chess. I felt like Darrell Revis matched up with A.J. Green for the majority of the game last week, if not all of it, aside from the time that he was on the sideline with a slight hamstring injury. Bill says they played as much that man and zone like they always do. You know, there's no change. So I have a hard time answering the question because I don't know what they consider manning up. They obviously didn't consider what happened last week manning up. I do. I think you'll see what you saw last week, Scott. I think that they will put him on the rookie and they will see if they can do their best to take him out of the game the way they did A.J. Green last week. You know, A.J. Green made, a handful of catches, but not too many. One big play after the outcome was already decided, and then he had the touchdown catch that he had wasn't even on Revis because he was out on that play, and Logan Ryan had come in to replace him. I expect to see more of what we saw last week, more man coverage from Revis, especially on Watkins.
So while Andy has big-timed us, he's gone out to do a radio hit for the next couple of minutes. We'll read some emails at webradio@patriots.com as Andy then comes up to the glass and gives a nice little gesture towards us. I don't know if you saw it, but it was very inappropriate.
I don't, but I can imagine.
Very inappropriate.
It's a one-trick pony.
So first email looking at webradio@patriots.com. It's a topic that's been coming up. This guy is not suiting up tonight. This afternoon, Brandon Browner. The question coming from George from Berlin, but he's in Beijing right now, so he's a world traveler. He's asking, what can we expect from Browner? Because obviously in the offseason, that signing was a big deal. Was supposed to be with Revis, was supposed to be this two-headed monster in the secondary, and all of a sudden now we're in week six, he's suspended for the four games.
Yep.
Now not dressing for two games. What can fans expect from Brandon Browner? Is he all of a sudden going to be thrown in there?
It's a great question. I don't know the definitive answer. I will say, and Andy and I are lockstep on this one, neither one of us was overly impressed during training camp with Brandon Browner. He was out there every day, didn't miss any time, didn't miss many snaps even. He got a lot of work this summer, played a lot in the preseason. I think that was intentional because they knew they weren't going to have him the first month. I think they wanted to get him out there. And I wasn't overly impressed with the performance. Now we'll fast forward to now. I think it was on Thursday that our buddy Jeff Howe in the Herald had a report saying that he was having a hard time picking up the defense. You know, the schemes and whatever the system is that Belichick is asking him to do. Well, you know, maybe part of the problem, I'll get all snarky Paul here. Maybe part of the problem was Browner thought he was playing man, and Belichick said, no, you're actually playing man and zone. And Browner didn't understand it either. He was like us. You know, he thought
a man zone.
No, he thought he was playing man.
Zone man.
He said, Brandon, you cover him. And Browner thought, okay, that means I'm covering man to man. And then after the thing, he said, no, you're playing man and zone. You know, he didn't understand it either. You know, like with Revis and AJ Green, you're not getting my snark.
Is it possible the entire off season and these preseason and first 4 weeks that he's thinking one way? And then just all of a sudden not prepared for when he's...
That
doesn't seem believable.
That
right.
struck me, and people, like Andy doesn't agree with me on this. It struck me as kind of an excuse from the Browner camp. You know, someone from the Browner camp, you know, sort of talking about how, well, it's not that he can't play. He hasn't lost his ability to play. He's just having a little hard time. He's, you know, he was out a month. He wasn't on the practice field. He's having a hard time picking up exactly what they want to do game plan-wise. They're a game plan team. That's the only reason why he's not playing. Now, middle of the week on Thursday, he doesn't practice. He pops up on the injury report with an ankle injury, so maybe he injured an ankle on Wednesday. Wasn't able to participate on Thursday and Friday, and now he's out. But moving forward, if Alphonso Dennard is healthy, I have no problem with him being the starting right cornerback. I think he is fine. Is he great? No, but he's okay. And from what I saw in the summer, Brandon Browner is not better than Alphonso Dennard. Now, maybe he's a better player, and he's just not there yet. But from what I saw this summer, Dennard is a better player. So I have no problem going into a game with Revis and Dennard with guys like Arrington and Ryan as your extra corners slot guy. You know, Arrington, I think, has had a pretty solid year in the slot. I think he's been pretty good.
You're listening to the Dunkin' Donuts. Let me get the sponsor right. Yeah. Dunkin' Donuts.
Especially as I'm staring at the donuts.
Staring at the donuts right now. Patriots pregame social. Scott Sudikoff alongside Paul Perillo right now. Andy Hart is off speaking on the radio with some other people at this time. Web radio at patriots.com if you want to.
That too.
Web radio at patriots.com if you want to email into the show. You can also get us on Twitter. Make sure you use the hashtag PPGS. Paul is at PFW Paul, and he's at Jumbo Hart for those Tufts Jumbos, and I'm at Sudikoff, Sudikoff. If you have any questions or comments you want us to address, you can get us on Twitter. We'll go back to the email, though, at webradio@patriots.com. This one from Cody is, I guess, calling out the fans. Why do fans always throw people, parentheses, Brady and Belichick, under the bus over one game? If they stunk the whole season, I could see, but one game, come on, the average NFL football fan only understands the score of the game. Is that true? Is the average NFL football fan just looking at a score, and that's all
I think if we were just looking at scores, then the Patriots wouldn't have been under anywhere near as much fire as they have been. I think people looked at the Oakland game that they won, but didn't play well. And I think they were savvy enough to understand this is the Oakland Raiders and the offense is doing very little. And we're squeaking out 16-9 wins at home against arguably the worst team in football. I think that is looking beyond the score. And at the same time, I think you could have looked at the score of the Minnesota game on the other end of the spectrum and said 30-7. I mean, wow.
This team must be great. We got it all straightened out.
But I think that the fans looked at beyond the box score and saying, well, Adrian Peterson has the whole situation with the team gets hit 2 days before the game. The defense's job was basically done for him. Then we watched Matt Castle throw them the football three times in the first half. four interceptions altogether. We played okay. We played better defensively. We stopped the run, but we still have some things to work out here. We're not as good as 30-7 would indicate, and I think that was the line of thinking. And that line of thinking, by the way, proved to be accurate when you come off those back-to-back wins, and if you were thinking everything was okay, then you go to Kansas City and get embarrassed.
It's been a strange season because you have that blowout win, quote-unquote blowout win. You have the ugly win against Oakland, the blowout loss against Kansas City, and then a blowout win against Cincinnati. It's you got to get to a point where you're looking for results just to sort of be in the middle. I know that sounds stupid. Obviously, you want to win games by 30 points if possible every week, but I almost want to see a game against a solid opponent like Buffalo, like today, where, you know what, they have to dig and they have to grind and they win a game because, yeah, they're the better team, but they also had to match the intensity of the other team, and I think today is kind of that chance to get a 24-16 win that you feel really good about.
Exactly, and I think that there's some value to that, you know, and
because the playoffs, you're not going to win games 40.
Now, I don't want it like last year,
right?
Where every game is like that. I want games like last week against Cincinnati, where you have a nice laugh or against the team, so you know you're capable of it.
You don't want any unicorns and show ponies.
No, I don't think you need, you know, because there was a lot of people that were calling this show and our other shows PFW in Progress and whatnot. This is going to do so much more for them because now they know what it's like to be in a close game and they're winning these close games and this is going to be better for them to a point.
But those were games that
They were playing close games against bad teams and they were finding ways to win them because they were just more talented than the team they were playing for the most part.
Right, and you're talking about those New Orleans and Cleveland games here last year.
Well, Cleveland more so.
Yeah, New Orleans definitely, definitely the Cleveland
Cleveland's
one.
A terrible
but those
team.
Are those are two games that they're this close to losing, and last year they're not in the AFC Championship game.
Well, and that's the other part of it is, you know, people look and they say, well, they had some terrible officiating calls against the Patriots last year. The one in Carolina with Gronkowski, the one. Even though I think it was the right call, it was never called
by the rule
in the Jets
right.
In the Jets game, which I think we've seen it once, one other time. Starting to see some of those calls this year, with you know overloading. That's not really the point. But people didn't really take into consideration the amount of games they won on the last play of the game, like the Buffalo game in Week 1 in Buffalo. They drove the length of the field, kicked a field goal as time expired to win by 2. The New Orleans game, the Cleveland game. You know, you don't win the games on the last play of the game, and you still lose the ones that you did lose that went down to the wire. Well, now you're a borderline playoff team.
Right.
You went 12-4. If you lost three games, all of a sudden you're 9-7. Now, how those generally work out, yeah, you win some, you lose some. They won three. They probably lost two or three. I think Miami was a game that they had a chance at the end
road,
of the game.
Right?
On the road, they had a chance. You know, but that one fell short. So that's generally how those go. They even out. But we tend as fans, and I'm guilty of this as much as anybody, you tend to only look at the ones, oh, geez, we lost that game in the last play of the game. We could have won that.
Yeah.
We could have went 14-2. You've been the number one seed. You host the AFC Championship. Then maybe you're going to the Super Bowl instead because maybe Manning doesn't play as well as he did in Denver in Foxborough. The what-if game can kill you.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Another email here we have is from Alex, and he is mentioning how, you know, those first 4 or 5 weeks were sort of, to steal a baseball term, not extended spring training, but extended preseason. In the sense now that you can see the two tight end sets with Gronkowski and Wright and Brady being able to get the ball out of his hands a lot quicker. He quotes it as in 3.3 seconds. I don't know if that's exactly accurate, but I'm sure it's around that time. Now he's predicting a Patriots 38-14 win. So obviously I think he's got both here. He's taking a lot of stock in what happened last week and that all of a sudden the switch has been flipped. And now week 6 is really the regular season beginning. Actually, last week was.
Yeah, I thought they played an outstanding game last week. And I'm just not ready to say that that's what this team is now. You know, they played 5 games, and they looked like that once. And if we play the next 5 games and they look like that 3 times or 4 times, then maybe I'm going to be ready to say, you know, the last part of the season, that's more of the performance that you can expect. But right now, I don't see why you would just automatically assume. What I saw last week is what this team is capable of. Mm-hmm. And if you takeaways, surprising for me, that would be one. I didn't think they were capable of playing that well against a good team. I thought they were a little bit short on some of the talent that it would take. Last week showed, hey, this team's still pretty good. This team can line up against a good team, and they can dominate a good team when they're playing well. But I need to see consistent playing well. And this game, to me, scares the bejesus out of me. I think Buffalo is not a very good team, but they're better than they've been. This is not the same team that they've had with a very weak defense. I think they can play it certainly against the run, where they're right now they're number one in the league against the run. Last year, your last memory was LeGarrette Blount in that last game of the year, just running wild. Mm-hmm. Against Buffalo. Just a very bad Buffalo Bills team last year. They look better to me. How much better? Well, I'll let you know in a couple hours when we come back and do this all again for the Xbox One Live post game. How's that sound?
I like that plug right there.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, the Buffalo defense last week only allowed 69 rushing yards to the Lions. So, and they're number one, number two in the league in rushing defense as Andy Hart is back in the saddle.
Hey, how are you?
Just
want to add in, on the Twitter machine, a lot of people talking about Dante Hightower going through his pregame routines, and evidently he has recently left the field, and all of the reporters are surmising that it doesn't look good because he looked upset.
Doesn't look happy. Yep.
Shaking his head, hands on hips, doesn't look like he's getting the go-ahead.
Yes, and I think that's mildly concerning going up against these guys, Jackson and Spiller. You already have some injuries you're monitoring with Jones, with Jamie Collins recently. If you don't have Hightower, that tackling strength that I think should be sort of the strength of this front is even more limited. You combine that with Easley, Salinga's on IR, Casey Walker, does he need a bigger role? The front against a team that's going to try to run the football, I think that's a little bit concerning.
Just checking in on the other side, our buddy Mike Rodak.
Buddy?
Covering the Bills. Yeah, he's our buddy.
I know, I'm just kidding.
Mike Williams, I mentioned that they probably wouldn't get much out of Mike Williams. Hasn't done anything all year, really.
Right.
Well, evidently they're going to get nothing out of him today because Mike Williams recently tweeted that he won't be playing today.
Oh. So, how come our players never tell us when they're not playing? No fun.
That according to our buddy Rodak.
Your buddy.
All right, let's go to the phone calls, I guess, for the first time today before we take our first break. I'm trying to get Kevin's attention because I forget which button to hit on the call screener. So I sent him a little chat message.
Don't you have a talk back button, too?
That's true.
Aren't you supposed to be a real radio guy?
No, only on...
I mean, I know you look minor league right now because you got your Northeastern Athletics shirt on. But...
Wow.
I thought we were keeping that off the air.
Starting the fight.
Okay, so when we go off into the third segment and we start talking about Husky hoops, I don't want to hear it from you.
You won't. I'll be asleep over here in the corner. All right, go to Jeff. You know how to do it now?
Yes, I do know how to do it now. All right, let's go to Jeff. Let's go to Jeff in Vegas. What's up, Jeff?
Hi, guys. How are you?
What's up?
Not bad.
Yeah, I'd like to welcome Scott. I like him better than Mark Vito Beltran already.
No, you don't.
Wow, that's high
praise.
You don't.
Just because he went to you a little quicker in the show and you and Beetle have had this feud as to when he goes to you?
Yeah, and it's refreshing, I must say. A couple things off the Twitter feed. I see Bill Belichick donning a suit and tie. As long as it's not a red hoodie, I'm okay with that, I guess.
That's not going to be his game day.
That's his pregame attire.
He always shows up in suit and tie.
He always comes off the bus like that and often walks the field with either his kids or Ernie or one of those people.
The thing that might be a little different this morning, Jeff, is evidently he watched Hightower's pregame workout, which some of the people, including our own, Eric Scalavino, has observed is not generally the case. It's usually the strength coaches, the training staff, and maybe a position coach. Today, Belichick watched the Hightower workout.
Yeah, and speaking of out on the field, who needs an offensive line or Randy Moss? We got Timms active today.
Are you excited about that? You excited about the Brian Timms era?
Only one more inactive, right? If Hightower
is
indeed
inactive,
out,
there will be one
that's
more.
Six. So Timms is looking good.
Right.
Yeah, he's going to take the top off that offense, make us forget all about not having a guy who can stretch the field, I'm sure.
So you're just going to beat the hell out of the over today, right? You got Timms. I mean, that's good for 14 points, I would think, right there.
At least. Kind of interesting, too. Apparently, according to Mike Reese, the game is on Fox, even though it's 2
yes. AM. According to the NFL, it's on according Fox, to the, too.
According to the NFL,
Mike Reese
TV
doesn't
listings.
Decide those things. I know you think he's a god, but yes, according to the NFL, a game is on Fox. Yes,
brand new flex rules this year coming into effect. I think it's gonna be weird watching an AFC game on Fox.
I thought it was interesting that Mike Reese decided to put the game on Fox.
Yeah.
I did.
I didn't know he had that kind of power.
Oh, you know, little man, big power.
Interesting. And then also alluding back, you guys were discussing the play action. Side of things, maybe we'll get that slow developing fake end around play again.
No, we don't have. We don't want any slow developing today because slow developing will make for fast developing headaches for number 12.
I agree completely, and nothing like another phantom injury out of nowhere from Brady. Nothing like having Stork inactive. However, I don't know. Let's go right to the as far as the line goes. Open New England -3. Now it's down to New England -2. That will bring us right to the Jeff and Vegas Smart Money Play of the Week.
Heavens to Betsy!
Yeah, Darrell Revis is out on the field playing today, is he not?
He is.
Yes, he is.
I hope so.
Well, unless he's the last inactive, that would be very disappointing.
Yes, it would be. Guys, we're back. Nothing to worry about today.
You couldn't even get through it with a straight face.
I share Paul's concern. If Kyle Orton gets to us and Spiller does scare me stopping the run, forget all that. Lock in New England. We're back. We're going on a run here. We're gonna come close to running the table. Give the two. Take New England. Lock it in. Buy lunch if it comes in.
Nice. All right. Lock it in. Yeah. Here we go, Patriots. Here we go.
That's the part we were waiting for.
Jeff. I like
the
free lunch. Nice. All right.
Hey, you don't get it.
Oh. Yeah, it'll be Tuesday. Oh. Mike Williams, by the way, the tweet was, game day, good luck to my coaches and my teammates. I'm not playing today, but we still need this win.
Yes, you do. Could also have used you to help with the win, no?
Yeah, well, evidently, Marquise Goodwin got a lot of his reps last week, and another guy who I'm not familiar with.
So I should just ignore the guy from Buffalo who I heard on the radio coming in, who
Chris
told
Hogan.
Me, keep an eye on Mike Williams today because he could be a sleeper of a guy.
Yeah.
So a sleeper.
He's done
not
nothing
playing.
All year.
Well, that's what the guy said.
He had one 80-yard touchdown.
Exactly what the guy said when he said, look for a big day from him today.
All right, you're listening to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. 855-PATS-500 is the number to call. Web radio at patriots.com if you'd like to email in. And if you're on Twitter, be sure to use the hashtag PPGS.
And if you're in Buffalo, send us some photos. We've already had a couple come in from PPGS on Twitter of people in the parking lots. First of all, be careful because we know the Bills fans, they ride an edge there and, you know, they urinate on the bus.
They throw
snowballs at the bus. They throw fingers at the bus. And just be careful. The Bills Mafia, they're touchy.
Fingers is among other things.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
Waste of a good Miller Lite, man. I'll
but if you are in Buffalo in the parking lots tailgating, send us some photos. We'd like to see it.
All right, I'll take a quick break here. Back with more on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Want to join today's show? Call the guys on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social and your host, Mark Bertrand.
What's up? Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. I'm Scott Sudikoff filling in for Mark Bertrand on this Sunday morning while Mark is out enjoying, a wedding weekend, some beverages and some good times. Good for him, right?
They tell me in the real world it's a long weekend this weekend.
And that too. And tomorrow apparently is a holiday.
We don't know much about that around here.
Ixnay.
Nah.
I have a note. Everybody was very excited that... What is that noise? Everybody was very excited that Mike Reese decided to put today's game on Fox.
Yeah.
On a Fox-related note, I just went to the bathroom during the break, and there's a black stool, one of those black chairs like that spin, and written in duct tape in 3 different spots around the rim of the black seat, it says, Tony Siragusa.
That's in the bathroom?
No, on the way to the bathroom.
On the way to the bathroom.
It's funny because he's
fat. Apparently, Tony Siragusa has a chair here at Gillette Stadium whenever he needs it.
Okay.
Huh. Cool.
I don't know if Mike Reese put it there.
So I'm alongside Annie Hart, Paul Perillo, Patriots Football Weekly, webradio at patriots.com. If you want to email in, 855-PATS-500. If you'd like to call in, Let's go grab a few emails before we go back to the calls as the Patriots get ready to play the Bills this afternoon. 1 o'clock kickoff, and it's on Fox. There's going to be so many people, though, who turn to CBS. I almost said TBS. CBS.
Not on TBS.
Not on TBS, thankfully.
The NFL's never been on TBS.
That's a good thing.
Maybe. It was on TNT.
It was on TNT. The old Sunday night games were on TNT.
I don't think CBS, though.
It was a long time ago.
Those were almost like minor league broadcasts, but they still put the NFL Network's ones to shame.
And wasn't that the original Thursday night football too? They had some of.
Yeah, they had some Thursday night games, and then they had, I think, Sunday night games.
Yeah.
I don't know if they had Thursday night games.
I thought they had some.
ESPN
Thursday night
had
games.
Some Thursday night, and then they had the Monday night football special Thursday night edition. I remember those.
That's confusing.
Yeah. Why don't you just call it Thursday Night Football?
I know.
Well, they hadn't thought of that yet. They knew people wanted Monday Night Football. They weren't sure they wanted Thursday Night Football.
Let's trick them. Belichick was in charge. Let's trick them.
So checking the email, Al from Italy has a question about secondary penalties. He's questioning technique.
And Paul, I guess you'll handle this.
Logan Ryan is the player he mentions. Logan Ryan gets caught every play. What do you think about that? And as always, less Andy. More Paul.
See, he wants more Paul. Go.
Logan Ryan is just flat struggling covering people, and I think that's why he's getting penalties. I don't think it's a technique issue. I think he's having a hard time. He's actually, I think, gotten away with a couple of penalties. Certainly an opening day in the end zone, he buried a guy with his back to the football. I think he's just off to a tough start. We talked a lot about him during the week, Andy, on PFW in Progress, about the whole regressing second-year cornerback thing and whether or not that's legitimate. But there are some guys that came in and played reasonably well as rookies and seemed to have gone in the wrong direction. And through five games, he looks like one of them. I don't know if there's anything to be read into that or if it's just coincidental.
And you generally grab when you get beat. I mean, as
that's
you said,
what
it's
I'm
very
saying.
Simple.
He's getting beat.
The hand penalties start with the feet, if that makes any sense. If when your feet are out of position, you get caught flat-footed, anything of that nature, you grab. You reach out. You know, it's human nature. It's like when, you know, you're on the snow. If you start to slip or whatever, you grab. It's always when your feet are effed up, you grab.
All right.
When your feet are effed up, you grab.
Yeah. With your hands.
Put that on a poster or something.
Heck yeah.
Peter from Connecticut with a question about, we've talked about this guy, Brian Timms, and we'll get the inactives probably in a couple of minutes.
Oh, we're knocking on the door, and I'll have them for you as soon as they hit the Twittersphere.
So we'll see if he's active or not.
I just want to stop blurting them out.
But if he's active,
I will punch you in the face. And by the way, we're only waiting really on one.
Yeah, right. We think we have six of them.
If he's active, what at all can you expect is the question
from
Brian Timms.
Nothing. I will go in with no expectations so that I will be pleasantly surprised with whatever I get. I have not seen him on the football field with a quarterback named Tom Brady. If Jimmy Garoppolo plays by any chance at any time, then I'm expecting a deep ball to Brian Timms. But as long as 12 is the quarterback, I have no expectations.
If Jimmy Garoppolo is playing today, there are three scenarios.
Okay.
Blowouts one way or the other, or the worst one. So hopefully
Brady didn't show up because he was having pizza with Giselle. Is that the worst one?
I might rather have pizza with Giselle than play football.
Can I throw it out to you? Just piggybacking on one of the emails we got. Okay, so according to Adam Schefter, he stepped on an offensive lineman's foot, rolled his ankle.
Yeah.
Okay. He said, Schefter said, it's not an issue. It's
right.
not expected to be an issue.
Right.
Then why questionable? Why? Okay, by the letter of the law, he was limited on Friday.
To balance out somebody else.
So you have to put him there. Because he was limited and you're afraid to get in trouble. Okay, so you had to put him there. Why not just probable?
I think to balance out other decisions. Because at the end of the year, I believe they check your numbers, and if you're out of whack with your questionables, if you're not really 50-50 on average, then you get in trouble.
Then why not Chandler Jones or Devin McCourty?
Because I think Brady is the
probable.
I don't know. I just think Brady is the easiest to manipulate.
You're with me.
You know he's going to play. But he actually got hurt, so you have to put him on there. Plus, maybe you get some added benefit of, the whole world thinks Brady might not
play. Well, that's what everybody was saying.
But I don't think so. I think it's pure auditing. Auditing
statistics. I saw somebody, I think it might have been Andrew Brandt, someone like one of the NFL types.
Sure.
You know, saying that it's one of those things that Buffalo knows he's going to play, and they're thinking the whole time he's going to play, but then they go out into the field for warm-ups, and they see him, and they sort of have that. There's a natural, you know, like, deflation. Like, we knew he was going to play, but there he is, you know. No, so you know the whole. You're saying there's a chance that he might not play, and there really isn't.
I'm not.
I'm not saying
there's any.
Oh no,
chance.
No. I don't think anybody thought there was a chance.
-8,000,000% chance.
So,
Patriots inactives.
There you go.
I got to do a read here. Guardian Injury Report. This week's injury report is brought to you by Guardian Life Insurance. Injuries aren't just a spectator sport. They can happen on or off the field, and they can happen to you. Good financial health begins with the benefits offered at your workplace. Make the defensive play. Look for Guardian Life Insurance to protect you and your family this enrollment season.
C+.
Suck it, Sudikoff. This week's Patriots inactives, we go with Nate Ebner, we knew that. Brian Stork, we knew that. Brandon Browner, we knew that. Cam Fleming, we knew that. Dominic Easley, we knew that. Dante Hightower, we thought that. And James White, the rookie running back, continues to be a mainstay on the Patriots deactivation report, is what it's officially termed by the National Football League. So the last one, James White, but you're without Hightower and Easley on your defensive front. Your offensive front without two starters, guys who have started this season, in Cameron Fleming and Brian Stork. Brandon Browner, it's like he had a 6-game suspension, still not playing for the Patriots.
No Buffaloes yet?
Can I do one thing at a time?
No, that was well done, Andy. I give you a B+.
What do I need to do better?
Well, I said C+.
Yeah. I didn't listen
I have
to
a
you.
Much stricter grading scale.
Oh, my God. Fast and furious. I don't see the Bills. I got the Jets. I got the Broncos. Need those.
Bills inactives. Eric Decker playing today?
Mike Williams, Aaron Williams, Ross Cockrell, Brian Brown, Randall Johnson, Cyrus, oh boy, Kenan Jahajaho, and Marcus Easley.
Quanjo.
That's close. Quanjo? Yeah. Seems like a lot of extra letters in the middle for that to be Quanjo.
He's an Alabama offensive lineman.
I know who he is, but
his brother's still there.
But yeah, so Mike Williams, as Mike Williams predicted, is out. Aaron Williams, Ross Cockrell, Bryce Brown, Rondell Johnson, Cyrus Quanjo, and Marcus Easley. So not a lot of significance on that injury report. The Bills,
you sure
Fred Jackson, healthy.
You're reading those right now, right? You still have it in front of you? Did they say Chris Williams?
No. Mike Williams, Aaron Williams. Mike Williams, the wide receiver. Aaron Williams, the safety. Ross Cockrell. By the way, Aaron Williams is a starter.
No, I know, and this is what I'm trying to get at, because they had two guys that were declared out on Friday. One was Marcus Easley, and one was Chris Williams. And you didn't say Chris Williams.
This says number 23, Aaron Williams, safety.
That's because Aaron Williams is a huge loss.
It's printed nice and neatly. It's not like ours that are scribbled.
I'm just wondering if it's a mistake.
It's printed.
Okay, what happened to Chris Williams then?
I don't know.
Unless they released him yesterday, and I just don't know about it, so maybe he's not considered one of the inactives. He was declared inactive on Friday.
Well, he could be inactive, right?
But wouldn't he be on the list?
Well, maybe he didn't make the cut. Maybe he is inactive. He's the 8th inactive.
I'm confused.
He was declared out. He has to be one of the inactives.
Right.
Fleming and Ebner were two of our inactives on Friday.
But the sheet only has room for 7.
There are only 7.
If a guy's hurt, he's inactive. Whether he's on the inactive list or not, I don't expect... If Chris Williams is out, he's not on the sideline. He's inactive. They could go to the game with 45 players.
I've never, ever seen that, not even once in the 15 years I've been covering
this. I'm just saying, it's possible.
I got you. He's on the IR.
He got moved to IR. Okay, that makes sense.
Okay.
Computers.
I've never seen a team have more deactivations than they need to.
You're telling me a team has never played with 45?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying they've had all the guys would be dressed, and the guy who was the most healthy, they might have had dressed and said, break glass in case of emergency. He's not playing unless he absolutely has to. I've never seen a team go with fewer players than they're allowed.
I don't know either way.
I'm only going on Patriots games because I've never, I don't get the inactives for every game. But I just thought it was odd that a starter, that's a huge loss, by the way, for
that's a loss
for Buffalo.
I was attacking the middle of the field anyway. I don't think he's all that good.
He's very good. He's a very good safety. He was a bust at a corner, but he's turned into a good safety, and that's a huge loss for them. That's
I'm not so sure.
Not feeling good about my prediction after that that bit of news.
Is that all right over there?
I banged my knee on the
ouch. This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. By the way, Dunkin' Donuts new dark roast coffee is here. Get a medium hot dark roast coffee for 99 cents from September 30th through November 2nd. America runs on Dunkin' plus applicable tax. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Let's go back to the phone calls, 855-PATS-500, and talk to Justin in Virginia. What's going on, Justin?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I think it's going to end up being 2016. I think the Buffalo's advantages are its front seven. And C.J. Spiller, I think our advantages are Revis. If Bill decides he actually wants to take away the top string receiver when he takes away Watkins. And I think a dark horse advantage might be our receiving core against a very mediocre secondary. I think the Bills' defense is a little overrated. I think their defense is good by the front seven, and that's about it. But thank you, guys.
Well, that's right. The secondary is not considered good. So you are absolutely right. This is a team that the Patriots should be able to pass the ball against, provided that they have the time to do it. And that's the big key that Andy, I thought, unfolded right off the top in his key to the game. The offensive line needs to have another good performance because this is a team that can get after the passer without crazy blitzing. Jim Schwartz is not an overly aggressive defensive coordinator. He's not going to sell out to get pressure. So the Bills need to do it with sometimes only three. I was listening to one of the guys this morning, one of the Buffalo guys, saying they don't even send all four at times. And Jerry Hughes is a guy that has sort of blossomed in his second chance after kind of flaming out as a first-round pick in Indianapolis.
Yeah, last week, Jerry Hughes, Marcel Darius combined for five sacks against Detroit. So, obviously, that is potentially a factor for this game. As we stay on the phone calls at 855-PATS-500, Tyler in Texas wants to talk about Aaron Dobson. What do you got, Tyler?
Hey, first off, just want to say, love you guys. I watch y'all every week.
We love our fans.
Thank you.
Yeah. And, I was wondering, why isn't Dobson making more of an impact? Because is he just not out there, or is he just not getting open?
He's not out there. He's seeing very little in terms of snaps. He probably actually has a pretty good reception-to-snap ratio this year. He had that one game, this was it week two, where the first play of the game, they threw to him week three, whatever it was.
Yeah. And week two, Minnesota.
He got out there a little late last week, and they threw to him, but he's just... he's not a part of the – and I actually liked what they did last week. I called for it, shortened the bench a little bit, not so many personnel groupings at receiver. We're having trouble getting people on the same page. Well, why don't we give a few people a few extra reps to get on the same page?
It was a good point at the time, and it turned out to be
I think you may see it this week because I think you may see even more so now with Williams out, more of the two tight ends with Wright and Gronkowski, middle of the field – Edelman, middle of the field, so there may be less opportunities for the rest of those guys. And I don't know, you know, what Scott asked about earlier, if Timms plays a factor. That will be concerning to me.
If he plays a factor over...
if he's seeing reps and Dobson isn't, then...
The beginning of the end is here.
Right. We're now officially on Taylor Price way, and we're accelerating down to a dead-end streak.
And that's not, before I get attacked, that's not a disrespectful shot at Timms. It's just an... there's another guy who hasn't done anything in 5 weeks who's now taking reps away from you. So.
Is it disrespectful to Timms to say he was undrafted and a journeyman? Like, the truth is never me.
When I say it, it's interpreted
as hatred.
Yeah,
but if you say it like this, the guy is an undrafted journeyman.
And we're expecting him to be Randy Moss, which is what we've had over the last 2 weeks.
The bottom line is, one is a second-round pick and one is an undrafted journeyman.
I totally agree.
They are.
Maybe you're right. Maybe it's a tonality.
I think it's a tonality problem.
Maybe I have to check the tonality at the door.
One is an undrafted rookie. Journey.
Yeah.
I didn't realize. I'm sorry.
Tyler's still there.
Tyler, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were
still there. He doesn't cut anybody off. He doesn't know how.
Yeah. Is it the drop button I hit? I don't. Tyler, you can go. What's up?
And I have a question at center. Who do you think plays center today and does the best?
I think Wendell will play center today and be the best because I don't think anybody else will play center today, barring an injury.
All right.
But I don't.
That's all I got.
Okay.
Thanks, Tyler.
Any more talking?
He cut you off. He's done. He doesn't want to.
Get you then, Tyler.
He doesn't want any more answers.
I'm done with this
about
guy.
The center.
I'm fine with that. Good. Good. How long does Brandon Bolden go before he plays? I mean, Brandon Browner go before he plays? Like, what are we doing here?
I think it's a very interesting.
Do you think
situation.
He's hurt? Do you think he's hurt, Paul?
Yeah,
don't hem and haw.
I do, but okay. I don't think that's what's keeping him out of the lineup.
Devy got to him,
how's
too?
How's that?
He stepped on Devy.
I think he's hurt, and I don't think that's why he's out of the lineup. Is that okay?
You think he's hurt, and that's why he's out of the lineup?
No, and I don't think that's why he's out of the lineup.
But if he's hurt, then that's got to be why he's out of the lineup. Well,
Tom Brady's hurt, too.
Hmm. Oh, he's so he's hurt. Lineup. He's not injured.
Yes.
Well,
whatever you want to do, I don't know. He's big.
That's what
he plays
I do.
Big. I don't know.
Hurt, not injured. They're all hurt this time of year. Not all are injured.
I don't know. He's Browner, but he's not Brandon Brown. I don't know. Like your little lingo
no.
that you
no,
use.
No, no,
I don't
no,
know.
No. Don't F with me like that.
Have you guys seen the cover of the Buffalo News today?
Yes.
Yes.
Courtesy of Mike Reese.
Yes.
A fading.
You know, Mike
dynasty.
Reese put out the Buffalo News today.
He's the editor-in-chief, right?
He's the editor-in-chief of the world, really.
Oh.
I mean, he runs the world. We should just all bow down to him.
Is he doing the broadcast?
Really low.
Is he doing the broadcast for Fox also?
He probably is.
He could do it.
Just hope he doesn't sit on Tony Siragusa's bench.
It's like Ditka or Mike Reese.
I got Reese by a late field goal. What was your question?
And we're just kidding.
I was just bringing up
the fading dynasty. There is energy in Buffalo. They I think would like to, not dynasty, but I think they would like to paint themselves as an ascending franchise under new ownership with new finances and sort of they're staying in Buffalo and, you know, maybe they're going in a direction. I don't know how you sell yourself on that when you just benched your franchise quarterback.
Yeah, you don't have a quarterback. You're not a
ascending. Otherwise, I could sell myself on that. We got a good defense. We got some playmakers on offense. We drafted a guy. We went way up and got a guy. And guess what? He looks like he was worth it. All that's great. I'm buying it all. You got a new owner. We got money. We don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, and that's
and
the
in
thing.
The NFL.
And I had talked to you, Andy, and you sort of shot me down on this, but I do.
I
think,
always do.
You know, we saw Kansas City a couple of weeks ago, and I don't think Kansas City is a loaded roster. I don't think it's a great team. They have some deficiencies, especially on defense. But I do think they have some individual talent, and I think that Buffalo is sort of comparable. But the big difference is what Andy talked about. Alex Smith might be limited. Maybe you can't win a Super Bowl with Alex Smith, but you can win football games with Alex Smith. And you can be a playoff team with Alex Smith, and you can win in the playoffs with Alex Smith.
And the other, problem I would
Kyle
put
Orton.
Is C.J. Spiller. Are you the guy you can be, or are you the guy
not
you've
consistent.
Been this year?
He shows flashes of being like
right.
Jamal Charles,
right.
but he can't be. He's not Jamal Charles.
Isn't his problem
every
he tries to make every run a 50-yard
yes.
run?
And he tries to use his speed to get to the outside and all right. that.
Bounces.
But he
likes the bounce.
He did it a couple of years ago. I mean, he had success doing it consistently for a half a season. But to me, he should be the guy around which sort of that offense kind of splinters.
That year that he had
and,
a couple years ago, he
right.
did it the whole year.
But
and then last year, Marone wanted to make it. Remember that he wanted to make right. him the centerpiece and get him all those touches, and it didn't work.
So I think that's, if I'm a Bills fan, secondary to not having a quarterback is sort of C.J. Spiller, the tease that is.
And that's what the Buffalo guy talked about this morning. He's electric,
boogie,
but
boogie.
He doesn't do it all the time, and that holds them back. But I do think there's some talent in this team. I don't think this is the same old Buffalo. People talked about, you know, a couple years ago they went 5-2. They opened at 5-2, and they won one more game. That was a team that was not as deep as this, not as talented as this, and then the injuries started, you know, like they do for every team. They start seeping in, and they didn't have the answers. And they've never been able to stop the run. Now this team, at least for five games, has stopped the run. Now let's see what they do today.
It's all because of Brandon Spikes.
You know, I know that Miami rushed for 200 yards against the Patriots in opening day. Then they went up to Buffalo the next week and got nothing. And that was the game that, as Chris Ferreira would say, the elite back, no Sean Moreno, got hurt.
Yeah,
but Lamar Miller averaged a good chunk of yardage against the Patriots, too.
But which team does that a commentary on?
I think Buffalo's better defensively than they have been.
Could also be a Patriots. Negative.
Well, that's the way you look at it. I think Buffalo is better.
Do you expect the Buffalo Bills
great,
to come
better.
Out and run the ball well today?
Yes.
To the tune of .150-ish?
I think they could be close. If they can keep the score in check and they're able to run the ball as often as they want, I think they'll be somewhere around 150.
What yeah. do you
I'm
fear?
Not looking for 200 or anything like that.
What do you fear on the Buffalo Bills offense more, the passing game or the running game?
Running game.
Okay. Interesting.
I just don't have the faith in Kyle Orton. And I know that he threw for 300 yards last week. I know that he had a really good game against the Patriots way back when.
1972.
2009.
Oh.
By the way, going back to Brandon Browner for a second, interesting note from Field Yates of ESPN saying that Browner, by not being on the active roster, $150,000
yep.
per game roster bonus, the largest in the NFL.
But that's just stupid. No offense
Jeez.
To anybody. They're not sitting him because they don't want to pay him.
Oh, no, no. I don't think that's the case. I just think it's amazing that
But people are going to take it as that. Like, oh, they don't even want him out there. That's why they don't want to waste the money. Well, you already waste the money at him. You gave him the money when you signed him.
Right.
And then you gave him the money when you put him on the active roster. So
it's a drop in the bucket, another 150K.
Cutting off your nose to spite your face. I'll show him. He won't get 150. You know, Robert Woods might go for a $150 himself today, but I'll keep Browner on the bench and save that 150. That's not what's happening. I don't know what's happening. I don't know if it's injury. I don't know if it's poor fit. It's starting to feel like it's poor fit to me because I've said this all along. I'll bend over backwards like a Russian gymnast for Darrell Revis. He's that good. If Darrell Revis can only play right corner, if Darrell Revis can only man up, if Darrell Revis can only play zone, whatever it is, he's good enough. I'll bend over backwards for him. That's what you do for elite talents. Brandon Browner isn't. I'm not changing what I do with Revis. I'm not, oh, I got to stick in this because Browner can only play right or Browner can only play man. No, you're not that good. You're not that worth it. Right, Paul?
I agree.
Okay, rant over.
Before we take a break, let's get one question off of Twitter using the hashtag PPGS. And we have Phil tweeting in his handle, the_MagnetMG. Don't know what it means, but it's all right.
What's an MG?
I could click on his profile and try to find out more, but I'm afraid. No, he's got no profile. All right, he's just.
It's not like an OG.
Very.
An MG.
Anyways, he says, outside of Brady, who else needs to play well for the Patriots to win? His choice is Cannon. Interesting choice.
It is an interesting choice. If you're Marcus Cannon, you certainly don't want to be the problem today, because then all of a sudden you just become the problem. People say he just sucked in the beginning. He was back out there today. He sucked again. You're the problem. Keep Marcus Cannon off the field. He's the reason we stink on the offensive line.
That's accurate.
But I don't know if he needs to be good today or if he just needs to be competitive. He can't be non-competitive. In terms of people playing, I think Gronk. I'm ready for Gronk. 5 touchdowns and 3 trips to Buffalo. Middle of the field is a weakness. All that stuff. I thought he looked more like Gronk last week when he was trying to run into people and picking fights with people. I'm putting Gronk on call today. I want 2 touchdowns and 147 yards.
Gronk's a good one. That's a good pick. I'm going to go, well, it's hard. The run defense to me has to play well, but I need to pick an individual. So I'm just going to go I'm going to go with Jerod Mayo in the middle. I don't necessarily think he's the most important guy in the front seven, but just to pick a guy, I think they can't allow Buffalo to dictate the way they want to play this game offensively. I think that they want to put Orton in, you know, they want to make Orton throw when it's conducive to throw, not when they have to, because I think that if he does, he'll make mistakes. If the Patriots don't force turnovers today, I think Buffalo stays in the game, and Buffalo has a chance to win the game. If Orton has to throw the ball 43 times, I think he threw it last week against Detroit, he's going to turn the ball over. He's going to.
And we know how much Jackson, Jackson is playing, he's active, right? And Spiller get involved in the passing game. The linebackers, in terms of their coverage, I wonder about Jamie Collins in terms of his coverage of running backs out of the backfield.
Well, I think that comes to the forefront because, yes, with Hightower out, there's a little more focus on Collins, a little more focus on Mayo, the matchups that you could get into with Spiller or even Fred Jackson, who's an aspect of the passing game. I've said all along it's going to be about tackling. You can't let them get the edges and the angles. Some of that will be the safeties. We saw that in Kansas City where tackling was an issue. For other positions, Rob Ninkovich, Devin McCourty, Logan Ryan. But I think linebackers need to tackle well. I think Jamie Collins just needs to do something.
Hey, Jamie Collins would have been a good one for me to pick instead of Mayo.
You know, Brandon Browner's season hasn't started yet because he hasn't played. Your season hasn't started yet because your season hasn't started yet.
You're good sometimes.
Thanks.
Jamie Collins would have been a better pick than Mayo.
Quick note off of
cherry pick one guy.
Our buddy Mike Giardi, who I have now dubbed the Garoppolo Whisperer.
The Galloping Chicken?
Sure. Brady's plant foot is the affected one, according to Mike Giardi.
So now he's got a bad calf on the front leg and a bad ankle in the plant leg.
No more running.
Hard to limp.
you just kind of waddle. It hurts. I don't know. Got to go.
This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. 855-PATS-500. It's the number to call. Web radio.
Gotta go.
At patriots.com is the email address. You can get us on Twitter. Be sure to use the hashtag PPGS, at PFW Paul, at Jumbo Heart. I'm at Sudikoff. Take a quick break. Be back with more from Gillette Stadium.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me.
At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the whole entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
The Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live on Patriots.com radio and the Patriots Facebook page.
Welcome back inside the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Scott Sudikoff here with you, filling in for Mark Bertrand have Andy Hart to my right, Paul Perillo to my left of Patriots Football Weekly. 855-PATS-500 if you'd like to call in. webradio@patriots.com if you're a little more shy and like to email in. And if you're on Twitter, send us a tweet. Make sure you use the hashtag PPGS. We'll head back to the phones right now. And we'll talk to Tim, who is in Pensacola, I'm guessing Florida. I'm not sure if there's another Pensacola somewhere. There probably is, right?
Pensacola, Mass.
Pensacola, Georgia, maybe. It's possible, right?
I bet you there's another Pensacola. There's usually
maybe Tim will know from Pensacola. So, Tim, you're on the air.
Hey, I'm from Florida.
We figured.
But is there another one? Do you know of another Pensacola anywhere?
Wouldn't know.
Wouldn't know. Okay. He's locked into Florida.
I'm locked and loaded.
Right. You have nothing to be sorry for. It was a stupid question.
very dumb question. Except Kevin spelled Pensacola wrong. I know that for a fact.
Well, he's a dumb person.
All right. Well,
here goes with the sprinkler offense.
Let me just say, going to the Buffalo Bills, unlike the Jets and Dolphins, who I hate, you know.
Wait a minute. Are you the guy that always says, Fred, you honor me with your...
Yes, but Fred's not there, so I...
None of us honor you with our presence?
No, Fred does. Well, I agree with you.
Back to it, you know, I respect the Buffalo Bills, but let's be honest, they're a joke of a franchise. We're going to win this game, but it's going to be a close game because they can pressure us without blitzing, and our offensive line's the problem. So I think it'll be a close one, but I think in the end, we're going to win it. And as far as the offense goes... I think the offense is going to rebound. I don't remember, but I used to call in a few years ago, and me and Andy used to get into it, and I was never a fan, even when Hernandez was here, of the two tight end, two possession receiver approach. But I will say for the regular season, it's going to get us fine. I think where we'll run into trouble is the playoffs, and that's why people don't need to worry about Timms or Dobson. Look, let him get this time to recover for Dobson or whatever's going on with him, and let Timms have time to build his rapport for Brady, because we're not going to need any downfield threats until we get to the good teams in the playoffs. See the 3 years ago when we had the two tight end, two possession receiver offense.
Did we ever?
What do you mean?
Did we ever have the two tight end offense succeeding in the postseason because of health? I'm asking. I'm trying to remember
exact. I don't know that we
ever went into the key games with Gronk and Hernandez healthy.
Well,
maybe just their rookie years.
Yeah, it never really failed. I agree with you. I think it was limited, and I think it was limited by two things. Gronk's health and Hernandez's hand/dropping the ball in big situations, big physical games.
Now you got Tim Wright, though. And let's see if he can build off of what he did last week.
I am not fundamentally or philosophically opposed to a two tight end offense. I thought it looked good last week. I think it will look good this week. I expect both those guys to make some plays. What you're looking for is playmakers in the postseason. I've said it for about a decade, and I continue to say it. In the postseason, regardless of position or anything else, you need guys who have the ability to make plays against other guys.
Well, I agree with that.
We'll have that with Dobson. The problem, and I agree with you, I don't have a problem with the two tight end offense. Where we ran into problems even when they were healthy, and given most of the time they were not healthy, so you could be right in that it's unfair, is you can't have all your weapons focused on the middle of the field. But what I'm saying is you don't have to necessarily have a Randy Moss out there. You just have to have a decent option. And at that time, Welker and Deion Branch, they weren't decent options. But getting to this Buffalo game and the main part of our season, even though it has its limitations, I don't think a team like Buffalo is going to have the personnel to stop it. They have the personnel to disrupt the passing game, even if we had 2007 Randy Moss, because our offensive line is going to get torn apart today. I mean, let's be honest. I love our offensive line, but that's what's going to happen. But
I don't think you do.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you love the offensive line.
Let's be honest. They're going to get torn apart. Well, it doesn't sound like you love that line.
And you also said that the Bills are a joke of a franchise, but you expect a close game. So what does that say about the Patriots if you get a close game against the joke of a franchise?
I say the line needs more time to gel. I'm happy about our game last week against the Bengals, but I'm looking at the season as a whole. I think that they're a joke of a franchise because at the end of the year, we know what they're going to be. They're going to be a bottom feeder team. It seems like every year for the past 5 or 6 years, Buffalo starts off with promise, and everyone's like, watch out for the Bills, watch out for the Bills, and they'll disappear just like they do every year. As far as our offensive line and Bill, we trust. You know what? Right now, they had one good game. Let's give them time. I think they'll struggle this game, because think about it. If you look at where New England's traditionally struggled and Brady has struggled, it's when they have four people they could just rush without having to blitz and keep their people in the coverage. That's what's going to happen this game. But overall, I think talent-wise, and with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and their schemes, we're still going to win. But let's not, even though they are a joke, let's not underestimate them, is what I'm saying.
Okay, we don't underestimate jokes.
Strange way to put it. It was a very funny line.
All right, Tim.
All right, Tim.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks for the call.
I also think Tim's getting a little too caught up in what we've talked about previously. Resumes. You know, the resume says one thing. But what about this year? What does the first 5 weeks of the season tell you?
I think Buffalo is a little bit better than they've been. I made this point, I think maybe, Andy, when you were on the other station. I don't think they're great. I kind of agree with Tim. I think at the end of the year, we know where they're going to be, and that's probably on the outside looking in. But I'm not ready to say that this is a terrible team that we've seen for the most part over the last 15 years. I think they're a little bit better than they have been. I think they're a little bit deeper than they have been. They can't get beyond the question that they have that Andy talked about, a quarterback. That's what I think is going to prevent them from doing any real damage. But at the same time, I'm not sure the Patriots are what they have been either. And that, to me, is why I fear this game. The old-time Patriots would have, I had no doubt whatsoever, the maturity to come off that game Sunday night, go to Buffalo, take care of business, and lay a whooping today. And maybe they will. Maybe they will. I want to see it first. I want to see consecutive solid performances before I just assume they're going to happen. And that's kind of where I stand today. This is a pick that is more about the Patriots today for me, about what I think is going to be a close game, than it is about Buffalo. I think the Patriots, to me, have to prove me a little bit more than they have so far.
I forgot what I was going to say.
I'm sorry. That one was admittedly a little long-winded.
It was about
it
what he... he kept saying, got to let them gel, but we trust it. Well, they're not going to gel until they play a couple games together, and that's part of the problem.
So they haven't had the same five.
And I'm guessing you won't now, because you're not only are you changing this week, week six, you're guaranteed in week seven because Stork will be back in, right? Because, you know, most people seem to think Stork is joined Vollmer and Solder. You know, that's part of your core line there. So next week, you're going to have another different offensive line. So the gelling is going to be delayed at least another week.
855-PATS-500 here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Let's talk to Dave in Connecticut. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Getting ready for the game.
Hell yeah, Sunday at 1, as it should be,
on Fox.
Well, you know what, guys, in Connecticut, I don't like this Fox Switch thing here because they're not televising it down here.
What? That makes no sense.
That's blasphemy. What are they playing? Call the station and yell at somebody.
Well, I got the Jets on Channel 2 and 3, so I'm definitely going to root for the Jets to somehow pull a miracle and take Denver out, but that's so I'm like a little kid at Christmas with no tree.
Huh. Wait, what? You have
the Jets is on CBS.
Yeah, the Jets in Denver are on CBS.
What's on Fox? You don't have a Fox game?
So you don't have a Fox game?
They don't have a 1 o'clock Fox game down here.
Oh, that's horse.
Let's put it that way.
I think it's the
You got the Jets. You're close enough to the Jets.
And you're considered a Jets territory, you traitor.
We're also considered, the Patriots are Channel 3 down here for us. That's the Hartford channel.
You're getting hosed.
I get it. So on Channel 2, he would have had the Jets game, but on Channel 3, if it was on CBS, he'd have the Patriots game.
But they've been on Fox when they play, NFC.
Right.
It's a new flex deal they have going this year.
You're getting hosed, Dave.
Oh, I know. I feel like it's Christmas, and I don't even have a Christmas tree.
So you know where you need to be, patriots.com with Kersh words. He'll keep you somewhat filled in.
I'm there. I mean, I think it's a
He'll big, ask big me game and Andy what's going on. We'll tell him.
It's a big game.
It is a big game. I know people may not necessarily, it's a big game. It's Buffalo. The whole history thing.
It's the biggest game they've had against Buffalo in 15 years.
25-3 or whatever.
You lose this game, you're
0-2
in the division.
And you're in second
place.
The
same balance that we had against Cincinnati last week. And I want to see the same, excitement. I mean, let's just get fired up here and everyone do their job and take care of this game.
Okay.
I mean, this is where New England is going to start. It's either going to make or break the season, okay? I mean, I don't look ahead to other games, but we got a big game Thursday against the Jets.
It's true.
I mean, if we want to take control of this division, the next 2 weeks are going to do it.
I kind of agree with you, and make or break, I think maybe a little strong, but we're going to know something about this team at 4 p.m. today that I feel like we didn't necessarily know for sure either way coming into the game.
And I agree with what you're saying about the maturity, you know, being able to seize the moment and just keep it in front of them.
Right.
You know, and I think that our offensive line, it's going to be difficult, you know, with Williams and their pass rush. It is. Even if we were healthy.
Yep.
Okay, 100%. So, you know, maybe we got to do a lot of game planning here, and hopefully Josh has it dialed in.
Josh and Googe and Bill, earn your money this week. All right, Dave, thanks for the call.
All right, thanks,
Dave.
That's unfortunate.
What?
That TV situation.
Yeah, but they deal with it in various places occasionally. Don't we get it sometimes in, like, New Hampshire or something? There's one place where if something weird happens, they don't get to watch the game. Or I feel bad for them. I do.
Yeah, that's no fun.
Take a break from the calls right now, and it's time to look at some other games going on in the NFL. It's time for the Sunday six-pack.
Nothing like cracking open a six-pack. Andy, Paul, and Mark pick six games against the spread. And just like your favorite beer, these guys are ice cold.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Time for the Sunday six-pack.
That little open used to be kind of a joke, and now it's kind of...
The way I pick, I'm going to have to start drinking to get drunk.
Yeah, really rough go for you guys this year. We only had two games, fortunately, for you guys last week, if you remember.
Wait a minute, I picked the Patriots.
Andy went 2-0.
So not fortunately. Fortunately, I kicked ass and took names.
Mark 1-1, Paul 1-1. That brings the standings now to Andy at 7-15.
Unbelievable fraud.
Mark 7-15. And Paul, 5-17.
What you did last week should be outlawed in every pick contest there is. You are a fraud of epic proportions.
And a little bit of breaking news here. Bertrand has just texted in his picks so I can inform you what his picks
are. Well, just give them to Andy first so he can just pick the other team.
All right. First game, Denver at New York. Denver by 10.5, and Beadle is taking the Jets.
Well, I am taking the Denver Broncos to win and cover.
10.5.
I think they're going to blow out the cornerbackless New York Jets.
That spread grew by 3 points.
Yes.
Since we picked that game. I'm going to take the points, too. I'm going to take the Jets.
Woo!
This is the kind of game that the Jets sort of, Rex Ryan fancies himself as one of the better teams, even though they're not. And he gets his team all riled up to play, and they'll be competitive, and they'll lose, but... I'll take the points.
Next one. Carolina at Cincinnati. Cincinnati by 7.5.
It's a tough one to pick.
Without A.J. Green.
No A.J. Green, no Marvin Jones. But I'm still going to take Cincinnati at home. I think Carolina is in for a very rough season, and they're already in the midst of it now. And I'll take Cincinnati to bounce back.
I got the Bengals.
What did Mark have?
I got the Bengals.
Mark took the Bengals as well, so all three
Mark
of you.
Mark picked the Bengals. Mark picked the Bengals.
Game three, Green Bay at Miami. Green Bay by 3.5, and Beadle is taking the Pack.
I will take the Pack as well. I think they're just a better team, and I think their offense has sort of gotten on track the last few weeks.
I wasn't listening. Who are they playing?
Green Bay and Miami. Green Bay by 3.5 at Miami.
Oh, yeah. Green Bay easy. They will not wilt in the heat like the Patriots.
Pittsburgh.
It's not hard to play in.
No, they're just more, they won't ignore it. They'll address the heat.
Oh, okay.
They won't pretend it's not there like Bill tells his team.
And there it is.
Pittsburgh, the Steelers, a road dog at Cleveland. Cleveland by 1.5.
I'm going to take the home team. I think Cleveland's a better team than Pittsburgh right now, despite Brian Hoyer falling behind by 30 points every game.
Beadle taking the Browns as well.
I will take the Steelers. I believe I voiced it the other day when I said, I don't believe in Mike Pettine and I don't believe in Brian Hoyer, so I can't take the team.
San Diego at Oakland. San Diego by 7.5.
San Diego will win and cover.
I agree. I like the Chargers.
Fred has dubbed them the best team in football.
Beadle as well. That's a clean sweep.
Okay.
Last game, New England at Buffalo. New England by 2.5.
Paul, you can go first.
I'm going to take Buffalo. I'm going to stick with the upset. I think the Patriots are a better football team, but I'm just worried about this game. I'm worried about the emotional... the emotion that they put into the game last week and how that translates to Buffalo today.
In terms of the inorganic emotion at Ralph Wilson Stadium, there will be a special pregame ceremony. Every fan entering the stadium is getting a One Buffalo t-shirt to sort of mark, I think, the beginning of the new ownership era. So we'll see if that plays a role, if there's a whiteout at Ralph Wilson Stadium. I don't really care whether they wear T-shirts or not. I think the Patriots are going to show up and battle. I think it'll be a struggle because, quite frankly, I think there are a lot of aspects of this game that are a tough matchup for your New England Patriots right now. That said, I think Rob Gronkowski is a tough matchup for the Buffalo Bills. I think Gronk almost single-handedly carries the Patriots to victory in his home area. Another two touchdowns, 147 yards, and a victory.
So Andy and Mark taking the Pats, Paul taking the Bills, and that'll do it.
So we got a couple difference this week. We could move the standings up, shake the standings up a little bit.
We got Andy taking Denver while the other two take the Jets.
That's a victory.
Then Andy taking the Steelers as well while the other two take Cleveland. And then Paul taking Buffalo while Andy and Mark take New England. Those are our differences.
So I will be two games ahead of Mark and well ahead of Paul by the end of the week.
Well, we all know that you had that very organic Patriots pick last week. That really worked out for you. That was nice.
Hello, you play to win the game.
Or to just do the opposite of what everybody else does. Hello, so you can have the chance to catch up.
Hello, if you were right, I would have been wrong. But you were wrong, so I was right. Hello, I win the game.
So Mark,
it's mildly offensive.
So Mark and Andy are taking the Patriots. Paul's taking the Bills. And according to Mike,
feeling less and less strong about it as the days go by.
By the way, I mean, you are here and all, so do you want to make a pick? It won't count in the standings, but take your opinion.
2.5, so it's pretty much just, I'm going Patriots. I think they'll pull it off. I think 24-16.
Hey, I think that's what I went with,
24-16. I mentioned that score earlier when we were talking about that the Patriots, you'd like to see them, it's great to win games by 30 points, but you'd like to see them win a tough, grinded out 24-16 game against a team that is playing well, and not so much the game against Oakland where, yeah, you won by a touchdown, had a quote-unquote defensive stand, but you played like garbage. So you want to see a good game played and win like that.
Yeah, if they had quality wins, you know, they have like quality starts. If they had quality wins, the Patriots have won.
Yeah.
Sunday night was a quality win. The Minnesota was an irrelevant win because your offense stunk and the other team lost their best player to a scandal a couple days before kickoff. So you really have one quality win this year.
Like, even if the Patriots played at Minnesota next week and did the same thing, it would be, in the same game unfolded, it would be much more impressive. The fact that it happened a day and a half after the scandal breaks.
Scandal.
I mean,
scandal.
That was taking candy from a baby, that game. Minnesota was in no condition to play a football game that day.
Sure.
So Mike in Virginia, as I was saying, he's telling us in the comment line that ESPN is picking against the Patriots. So, Mike, what are your thoughts on that?
Being down here in Virginia, and being from New England, I'm actually from Maine, but I grew up being a Pats fan, and I'm watching ESPN now as we speak. And seeing what they're saying about the Patriots and what's going on. And actually, they picked the Bills to win by one. It's kind of, back and forth for me a little bit, just because they started off rough, but it looked good against Cincinnati. And whoever picked against the Patriots at your station should be fired.
I agree.
And have their card towed somewhere far away.
I agree. Well said.
And just exactly why is that?
Exactly.
I resign.
Why? If you pick against the Patriots, you're from New England, then you should have your car
towed. Well, I mean, but do you have a reason for that? I heard you say that the first time. Why is what I asked you. Why should I have my car towed?
Are you a diehard Pats fan?
Am I a diehard Pats fan? I work for the organization.
Absolutely.
Right.
But you're going to pick against them.
I didn't say anything about hoping. I picked the game who I think is going to win.
There's objectivity in this job.
Buffalo or?
I think Buffalo was going to win today in an upset.
He's picking against them 2 weeks in a row. You're right. Tow that damn car.
I'm calling right now.
Should I have had my car towed when I picked the Patriots when they lost 41-14 to Kansas City?
I will tell you right now, I work for law enforcement. I'm calling right now. That car towed. I know where you guys work.
It's a gray Accord.
Oh, he knows where we work.
Come and get it. You can fix the crack in the windshield, too, while you're at it.
No, I'm
being serious. Should I have had my car towed when I picked the Patriots to beat Kansas City when they lost 41-14? Should I have had my car towed that day for getting that one wrong? I got that one wrong.
Why is it the car being towed? I don't even get that part.
I mean, what should I lose for getting that pick wrong?
I'm going to have your wife's car towed.
Oh, that's worse.
Okay. No, I'm just having some fun with you. So
I know they're in Buffalo. I know they're in Buffalo, and we're all excited. You know, they beat Cincinnati. Great. They got destroyed by Kansas City. But let's give them a little chance, like you were talking about. Hey, listen. Still ready to gel. And really, we always talk about Brady really hasn't had anybody since Moss. You know, we've had some running game. That's great. But, you know, we're always talking to him. The defense was supposed to be up this year because we signed all these people, right? Revis, we got Browner, which is not going to play today.
Yeah, so it was really one signing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really – we put everything in the Revis basket. Your other signings either didn't pan out or, you know, in terms of Browner, are still sort of waiting to pan out.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, our front line coming back still, and we were talking about all that stuff. Wolfer coming back, which is awesome. You know, it takes up 3, 4, 5, 10 guys.
Yep.
So, you know, we're talking about, like, ins and outs, but people are working around that. Because we don't get that live stream here. I have to go online because I'm in Virginia, so I don't get local like broadcast. So I get to stream online here.
You pre-gaming?
You get your alcohol though.
I finally caught on to that. I caught a hiccup in the middle of this.
I absolutely get that. I get my 12-pack and my wife makes hot wings.
Now,
oh, nice.
Now I am extremely jealous.
All
right. Now, hey, listen, I'll tell you something. If I was watching the game with you, I'd be down with that, and I would change my pick. I'd be a lot happier.
I'm telling you, if you went to my Facebook and saw my wife's wings, she makes the best wings ever. I'm telling you, I've gone through, I don't know how many bars. I was in the military for 22 years, so I ate around the world. She makes the best hot wings ever.
Now, did you know that when you married her? Is that why you married her?
No, well, she's from Turkey, so... She came to accustomed to American eating, so she knew what I liked, so she perfects the hot wings.
So she's from Turkey and cooks the best buffalo wing
hot
wings ever.
Well, that's the best wings generally from Istanbul.
If you come up here, she'll make them for you. You can't hang out here, but you can have some wings.
Wow. Can't hang out there.
Not very friendly.
That wasn't very nice. That was worse than having my car towed.
Do you know how much I miss New England? I'm down here in Virginia, right? You know how bad it is? Every time I go into work, I got my hat on. You know, it's always like, you cheaters down here in New England, blah, blah, blah.
No, you know, they got the Redskins that are really what they have to deal
happens.
With.
So.
Yeah, I got the Deadskins, right? So, and RG nothing down here. So, and everybody's like, you know, now it's the baseball time. So, of course, our Sox just went from first to worst. So, it's all like, it's sad times down here, at least for me.
I hear you, but at least you get wings and beer. Enjoy the game.
Yeah, all right, Mike. Yeah, enjoy the wings. Enjoy
Thanks,
the
Mike.
Beer. Enjoy the wife from Turkey.
Easy, easy, easy.
What? No.
That's a pretty sure that's offensive. And by the way, I mean, if you're a Patriots fan in Redskins country, and they say, oh, cheaters, cheaters, racist, racist. Like, we have a cliche thing we can throw back at you, too. Your nickname is a racist.
Plus, if you want to just go on, like, these vague cheating things, they just got caught cheating in the uncapped year.
That's true.
Now, I think it's ridiculous, but
yeah,
they
so they're cheaters and racists.
They lost a draft pick,
right?
Them
apples.
It's so ridiculous.
On that note, you're listening to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, 855-PATS-500. We'll take a break and be back with more previewing the Patriots and Bills.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio,
Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Have a prediction for today's game? Let us know about it on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email your prediction to webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to Mark, Andy, and Paul on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Scott Sudikoff sitting in for Mark Bertrand here on this now Sunday afternoon. Patriots and Bills kicking off at 1 o'clock today. To my right, Andy Hart. To my left, Paul Perillo. Kevin Collins behind the glass.
Right to left on the radio dial.
Left to right on the radio. Yeah, that's the way I'm looking at it. That's how the listener needs to...
Across the Patriots.com radio network?
Yes.
Exactly.
Across the stream.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 855-PATS-500 is the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Got some breaking news off of the Twittersphere. Not really breaking, but
no?
Early offensive line warm-ups. Left to right on your offensive line dial.
Like that.
Solder, Conley, Wendell, Klein, Vollmer. So it looks, at least on warm-ups, that Klein could be at right guard. Bill Belichick did, in fact, tell 98.5 that Ryan Wendell is starting at center, which I think we all assumed. But it's also got to keep an eye on that right guard spot. There were some reports, I believe, by the Boston Globe that Cannon was going to be back in the lineup at left guard, and Conley would go to right guard. But At least based on warm-ups, that is not the case. Everybody's really mean to Jordan Devey, huh? All you get from, like, as long as he's not Devey, I don't give a flying Fandango.
Flying Devey. Fandango, I like that.
Devey went from, like, a nobody to, like, the most hated offensive lineman.
Well, now he's being, I don't know if you've seen all the little smarmy, you know, obviously Devey must have stepped on Brady's ankle.
Oh, yeah, took part in that, too.
He did. Yeah. He said those exact words.
I did.
I'm sorry. I thought I was making fun of the fans for being mean.
I actually assumed there was a screen pass, and he pulled out, and Browner stepped on his foot, too, and hurt his ankle. That's how he got hurt. I blame him for everything. I'm like New England fans.
Web radio at patriots.com.
What's the opposite of divine intervention? Devy intervention is like the worst.
Tom in Baltimore emailing about the linebacker.
Poor Devy.
I do feel for him, but it's fun to play along with, too. Scott's rubbing his head. Can I just go to whatever I want to go to?
But that's not bad. We got to the last segment before we got him to rub his head.
Right.
Go ahead.
Linebacker depth appears to be an issue due to the fact that our starting linebackers can't stay healthy. With that said, I think it was a big mistake to let James Anderson go at the beginning of the year. What are your thoughts? Tom in Baltimore sent from his iPhone.
I thought it was a mistake. Thanks for letting me know where he sent it from. Not his iPad, his iPhone now. But Paul, is he still available?
Who's that now?
James Anderson? You could at least listen to the show if you're going to be on it.
I believe he is still available.
I think he is, too. So if he were that much of a bad cut by the Patriots, they could rectify that situation by re-signing him. I thought he was a good coverage line backer. Not a batter. You confuse me by saying rectum.
Well, I agree. He looked like he was an active guy in coverage, but I don't think that coverage has been a problem for the linebackers. I think they've done a pretty good job. Even last week when Hightower was out, I didn't really see that as a huge issue.
Could all end
today.
They're
thin at linebacker. We'll say that. I mean, you have Deontay Skinner playing significant reps last week, correct? And you had to bring Jagarrad Davis up off the practice squad. So that's
so much so that you had to, who'd we cut to bring him up? Joe Villano?
KT,
one of those.
KT, I think Villano was with Timms and Browner. Yeah, Sudikoff got all upset about that one.
Yeah, Villano's my guy.
He's a terp.
My guy.
He's still here, don't worry. He can be back.
And then A.J. Francis down in Miami. Yeah.
All right.
Not like
move on from the terp hour.
Okay, back to the emails.
Terp hour of power.
I mean, it was 20 seconds. We spent more time on you bashing Northeastern, so...
That's true, but that's every show.
And we haven't even mentioned Tufts today.
It's more relevant. Well, we won't until they win again.
2-2.
All right, so we won't be hearing anything about Tufts.
They're done for the year. Anyways, this is a public service for our friend in Connecticut who was saying he couldn't watch the game. I have an email from Jonathan in Connecticut. He says he lives in Connecticut, obviously. And
that's why you called him Jonathan in
Connecticut. And Jonathan from Connecticut lives in Connecticut, the state of Connecticut, and abbreviation CT or CONN, period, depending upon how you're writing. He says if you scroll through the alternate channels, you can find the game on Fox. So anybody listening in Connecticut who says they can't find the game, apparently you can just scroll through the channels.
So he's calling Dave a liar or an idiot.
Or just having not look through all
the alternate
channels.
Aren't there different cable systems, though?
But
that's true.
What I'm wondering about is what you sort of touched on, Andy, is the fact that maybe wherever Dave is in Connecticut, it's a Jets market.
Yeah. Right.
And they can't have a game on Fox opposite the Jets.
It's sort of like
just
me.
Like the Patriots here.
Well, I get some weird channel combinations at times because I get Providence and Boston, and they're kind of different sometimes.
And that's why you never know like where you are in terms of the demographic.
Dave, I'm with you. Till proven wrong, I'm with you, Dave. You're getting screwed.
Just check.
The man's keeping you down.
It's a reminder to scroll through the channels, check it out. Maybe you can find it.
And if not, click on Patriots.com where you can have Fred Kirsch keep you up to date and interact with all the fans across the world.
Yeah. Right. Now, there is a possibility that Dave just couldn't find Fox, doesn't realize that we're saying it's not on CBS, it's on a different network.
Right.
So it's not two or three, you know, his channels. Mm. And there is a chance that he can't find it.
There's a chance.
That's going to happen a lot today. Scott, you brought that up early in the show. A lot of people are going to be calling newspapers today.
Right, so blame Mike Reese.
If I were still working at the Herald, I would be taking a lot of calls today. I can't find the Patriots!
And blame Mike Reese for deciding to put the game on Fox.
It was an interesting, bold move that he made as the... President
don't you think
world.
He would put the game on ESPN if he had that kind of power?
Right. Good point. Hmm. Good point.
855-PATS-500 if you want to call into the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Antoine in New Jersey. What's going on, Antoine?
How you doing, guys?
We're good. What's
hey,
up?
Antoine.
Chilling.
I actually think that we're going to lose this game. And, this, and when I say lose this game, not to say that we're actually going to lose it. I think the Bills are actually going to win this game. I think that they're going to play hard for the new owner. I think that the crowd's really going to be a big, big, big importance in the game. And I think that they're just going to play just a little bit harder than us.
Yeah, see, that's alarming to me. You know, if we if the Patriots came out and bungled this away, a couple fumbles and played like crap, okay, well, I can fix that maybe. If we're not as good as the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo, you know, I know they're going to have emotion and all that, but if they just come out and beat us, yeah, that's concerning to me. Any day that I'm not better than the Bills is called a bad day.
and I actually want to talk about...
So the early 90s were painful.
Cole, I mentioned like a couple calls back about something about like the middle of the field not being really our strong point. And I think contrary to that, because you know you could say throughout the years that we had Moss, that was the only real efficient years we really was like a deep passing down the field type of team. And we thrive off the middle of the field. We thrive off of finding mismatches. And this what brings me to the tight end position, because I think we excel in the two tight end set. My only problem is that when we always do it, either at the time when we was running it, either Gronkowski or Hernandez would get injured, so you never truly had, just lined up all the time in a two tight end set.
True.
But I actually think we're going to see that more often, though.
Yeah, I think you are going in a direction where Tim Wright might be one of your top four or five guys. And you're saying that, you know, with Gronkowski, obviously, Edelman, and then sort of the other jobs filling in behind them as such. You know, I think they traded. They included him in that trade for a reason, and they put him out there immediately for a reason. And I think they like their skill set for a reason. And it's not just because he went to Rutgers.
But, Andy, let me ask you.
I didn't see that coming.
Back in the preseason, then I think it was against like the Washington Redskins, where they had like the two running back.
Yeah.
And that's always been in the back of my mind. Even though we haven't employed it, you know, in regular season, I've always wondered why haven't we gone to it? Or
you
know,
I
know that, you know, we want to have really run the ball, and I'm all for that. But it really intrigued me when we played that game because it actually looked real good when we played that against the Redskins out there.
I've wondered that for a while because they've done that the last two or three years, especially in the summer. We've seen significant time devoted to two running back sets with various combinations of, you know, White Vereen or Leon Washington or Bolden,
so
Ridley.
But not counting Devlin, two running backs.
No. I'm talking about, and a lot of times it's split backs.
Yeah, split backs with either Ridley and Vereen or Vereen and White, something
and
like
I'm
that.
Wondering if it has to do with the rest of the personnel, and when you already have wee little Danny Amendola and wee little Julian Edelman on the field. Do you want to add wee little Shane Vereen? And, you know, I think if this were, you know, the Moss days, well, maybe you'd have a different lineup out there, a big receiver on the outside you could count on, and maybe that would put you in better mismatch situations. I'm not sure right now that it's enough of a differentiation, but it has been weird that they've sort of looked like all summer for the last couple of years that it was going to be a part of the offense, and then the season gets here and it's a minimal aspect.
All right, guys, it's that time, that part of the show. It's now time to talk to Eric Scalavino.
We're stuck down here in the studio.
Boring.
For the latest from the field, let's go to the press box.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Here's Eric Scalavino.
Eric,
what's up?
Hello.
Hey there, guys.
I had to turn him on first, guys.
Are you ready for another new offensive line? Because you're going to get one today.
Yeah. The only we knew we were getting a new offensive line when we saw the head injury, the concussion. The only question now is that offensive line in the middle of it going to get their ass absolutely whooped by the strength of the Bills' defense? And we've already seen on Twitter that it looks like it is going to be Josh Klein getting a chance?
At right guard, that's correct, with Ryan Wendell sliding from right guard a week ago to center, and Dan Conley remaining at left guard. Tackles remaining the same, Solder and Palmer. So, yeah, that's a concern for me. Big front against a small-ish interior, that could be a vulnerability for the Patriots.
It's funny because I agree with you that it's a concern and it could be a vulnerability going against Darius, he says his name like you would like him to say it, and Kyle Williams. But on another sense, we're kind of back to where we started like 6 months ago where we thought Klein was pushing for a starting job.
Klein was our guy.
Well, we did, but it's funny. Like, I thought he – well, yeah, we didn't obviously expect Mankins, but when Mankins was traded, I was thinking Klein would be the left guard for this whole time based
right.
on what he did last year.
Right.
And I know what you're saying. You thought he might have been maybe pushing Dan Conley for a starting job at
right.
right guard. But, yeah, so maybe finally he's going to get a chance to do something
right. and
more substantial today. And
so I guess my point is, on paper, it may look like they're down to their, whatever it is, seventh guard at this point. But some of us thought he was vying to be like the second or third guard a long time ago. So maybe, you know, things are sort of settling themselves out here, and maybe he gets back to the guy that impressed them enough last year to get on the field and start a game as a youngster. Moving to the other side of the football, as I like to do after I ask you about the offensive line each and every week, because it's always the topic that we discuss first. Some
up front, Andy.
It does indeed start up front. On the defense, it starts in the back. And obviously, we know Darrell Revis is going to be a key part. How do you see the rest of the secondary folding out? I think people forget that Devin McCourty had a McRib injury last week, so he did not finish that game. And now we go another week without Browner. Just give us a little quick rundown of the secondary roles as they're falling into position.
Yes, the McRib was out there with the first unit next to Patrick Chung, and Revis on one side on the left, and Alfonso Dennard on the right corner spot. So that was your first unit taking reps in the secondary just moments ago.
How about up front, where we have some changes this week, or lack of changes this week? Dante Hightower is still out of action. We actually saw Chandler Jones be a bit limited last week. Do you have concerns? Are we going to see Skinner again? What is the front going to look like?
Yeah, the pregame warm-up suggests that we're going to see Skinner again in place of Hightower. And a front that really sort of hard to pin down, because if you look at it, it could be a 4-3, but it looks more like a 5-2 way they were playing it. They had the ends, Jones and Ninkovich, who would normally be hand on the ground in a 4-3, standing up, and they had their three linebackers in the middle.
All right, Eric, thanks for the call. That was fortuitous for us because we actually have another guest who is more informative than you, so I'll let our host go to him.
All right, it's time to go behind enemy lines.
You know the view from New England.
I'm defending the Patriots.
But what about the view from the other side?
It is what it is.
Time now to go behind enemy lines.
Behind enemy lines with Chris Brown of BuffaloBills.com. How you doing, Chris?
Good morning, guys. Or good afternoon, I should say.
Good afternoon now, yep.
Beautiful afternoon for football. And I think all Patriots fans already know that the strength, or one of the strengths of the Bills team, is that defensive front. But I want to ask you about the back end and sort of the middle of the field. We saw the Patriots come on last week targeting the Bengals' middle of the field with Gronkowski and Tim Wright. Now we see that Aaron Williams isn't playing. We know from experience that Brandon Spikes can get caught up on the play-action passing game. What have your observations been of the middle of that Bills defense to start the year?
Well, I mean, I think Preston Brown, the rookie third-round pick, had an outstanding start to his NFL career. He's played a lot of snaps in basically all three linebacker positions, due mainly to injury. You know, Keith Rivers was in and out. Nigel Bradham's been in and out. But he essentially was Brandon Spikes' backup at middle linebacker in the preseason and in training camp. But I'm expecting him to be the starter by the second half of this season because he's just a more versatile guy than Brandon is. And I would expect him to log the majority of the snaps in the middle there with Nigel Bradham back playing today. I think if Spikes does play, it'll be few and far between, knowing that when he's out there on the field, Brady will have a tendency to expose players that are limited in terms of their versatility.
You know, sticking in that area of the field, Chris, the linebackers, the safeties, Andy brought up Aaron Williams. Last week we saw the Patriots get back a little bit to their two tight end success that they've had. Gronkowski, everybody knows about. Tim Wright's a guy who had a nice game against the Bengals. How have the Bills dealt with tight ends so far this season?
They've done okay, not great. They shut down Antonio Gates back in week three, but Ladarius Green, their other tight end, got leaked out a couple of times and had about four or five catches that really kept some San Diego drives alive. So here is probably the next time that they're facing kind of an emerging duo, with Wright coming on for you guys. So, you know, I think it's going to be interesting to see if they've learned their lesson from week three and have better answers, here now in week six. The thing thing is, with Aaron Williams not in there, I would expect a lot of Corey Graham at safety today. You know, he was signed in free agency as a corner, but I think down the line they envisioned him as some safety help as well, and he's probably going to help fill that void back there with various combinations with Duke Williams and Denoris Searcy. So, you know, the good thing about Graham is he's a guy that could probably handle a guy like Tim Wright, being a former converted wide receiver. So, you know, I think from a matchup standpoint that they don't lose too much there in the coverage part of it from Aaron Williams to Corey Graham, but Gronk is always a handful. I think they're just going to mix it up on him all day. Nigel Bradham's probably the most athletic linebacker in terms of coverage, so I would anticipate he'll be on Gronk at times, but then they'll, you know, rotate the safeties in, Duke Williams, Denoris Searcy, et cetera.
Chris, what's the deal with C.J. Spiller? You know, we see him a couple times a year. He looks like a supremely talented athlete and playmaker. He had that real good year a couple years ago where it was whatever it was, 6 yards a carry. And then you look this year and it's down at 3 yards a carry. Is he just a tease or a frustration? You know, what's the story around C.J. Spiller?
I just don't think he's an ideal fit for what Doug Marrone wants to do in the run game. And you can put this on whoever you want, but I think in the grand scheme of things, when you have a talent that big, you've got to make better use of him. And I think they, as the season goes on, we're going to see him split wide more, coming out of the backfield and lining up not too far from, you know, the lineman, you know, as an extra receiving threat. And I wouldn't be surprised if we saw both Fred and CJ on the field at the same time today in what they call their pony package, you know, where they're in the backfield as split backs and then CJ will split out prior to the snap. We haven't really seen a whole lot of that this season, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's a wrinkle they want to unveil on the Pats today.
Has the offense changed much with the change of quarterback?
Well, they've gotten more consistency in the passing game, if you want to call that a change.
Sure, I'll count it.
Really what EJ was struggling with the most was ball location. It just wasn't there often enough. And all you have to do is look at his completion percentage to see that. He was throwing primarily to the backs in the passing game, and they have the most receptions on the team just because his ball location wasn't good enough to get it to the receivers often enough. Here's a case in point for you. You're down in Houston. It's a one-score game for the majority of that game. And, you know, he targets Robert Woods, one of his favorite receivers in this game, 12 times. And Robert finishes the game with 3 catches for 20-something yards. Because the ball, because even though he's running open and running free, EJ can't get the ball to him. You know, I think his footwork's got to get worked on a lot. For a man, though, with 10 and 5/8 inch hands, it just boggles the mind that his ball location is inconsistent, and that's what earned him a seat on the bench. And, you know, you look at Kyle Orton, hasn't played on the field since the season finale last year when he was playing for Dallas against Philadelphia. And, you know, he comes out here with no training camp, no reps with the players on this roster, and he completes almost 70% of his passes against the number one defense in football last week.
Chris, the one thing that from afar people don't really talk about a lot is they talk about the defense, they talk about the skill players on offense. The offensive line, I'm wondering if that's a group that is prepared to maybe take it to a Patriots defensive front that's having its depth tested early in the season.
I don't know. They've had their ups and downs this year. You know, they've had their first 2 weeks were pretty good, and then they fell back a little bit. And, you know, they've had some moving parts also. They got the rookie seventh-round pick at right tackle who is an athletic freak. I mean, his athleticism is off the charts, but he's learning on the fly here, and so he'll have some really good series, and then there'll be some other series where he struggles a little bit. You know, they moved the starting right tackle into right guard in Eric Pierce, and he's still getting a handle on guard, which is a position he only had all four starts in his nine-year career, you know, prior to getting kicked in there here at the start of the season. And then at left guard, you've got another rookie and fifth-round pick, Cyril Richardson, who's going to look like he's going to be there for the balance of the season with Chris Williams, their free agent pickup, now going to IR this week. So really, Cordy Glenn and Eric Wood are the only rock-solid guys that, you know what you're getting from them each and every week. The other three guys are kind of a work in progress right now.
Can they run the ball? You know, I want to piggyback a little bit on Andy's question. Can they run the ball effectively enough today to, you know, continue to maintain that balance, not put it all on Kyle Orton's shoulders?
Yeah, I think they should have some more success. They're coming off a very formidable opponent, you know, in the Lions front last week, which is arguably one of the best defensive lines in football, especially with Sue and Fairley in the middle there. So I think coming off of that game against that level of competition, you know, no offense to the Patriots, but they're not the Lions. And so I think they'll have some opportunities to make some plays in the run game, yes.
My final question for you, Chris, is just we saw on Twitter that they're handing out T-shirts. There's going to be a pregame ceremony. We know this is the first game under officially the new ownership. What sort of emotion should we expect from the crowd and the Bills and the team and everything today battling for first place in the AFC East with the local paper questioning whether the dynasty of New England is fading?
I would say potentially the loudest you've ever seen it, maybe since the Super Bowl days.
Nice.
I think for New England fans to appreciate this, this has been a dark cloud that has hung over this franchise for the better part of the last 25 years. What happens when Mr. Wilson passes? Will this franchise move to a bigger market where the NFL can make more money? It's a question that fans asked every day for the last 25 years, worrying that their team was going to leave. And the Pegulas basically came in and saved the day. And they're going to get a hero's welcome here. There is a collective exhale sigh of relief in this city that their team is here for generations to come. And all of that emotion is going to get poured onto the field here by the fans. And if the Bills get out to an early lead, I don't even know if Tom Brady is going to be able to save the Patriots, because this will just be a wave of, it's going to be like a tsunami out here of emotion that I don't know if it's a wave they're going to be able to stop.
All right, Chris, before we let you go, we got to ask you for a prediction for this afternoon's game, Patriots and Bills.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Patriots are a little bit more vulnerable than they've been in the past, and they're a little thin on defense with their injuries, and I think this Bills offense with Orton at quarterback is going to be able to do just enough to at least put them in scoring situations. And so, you know, I've got the Bills winning a nail-biter here, 23-21.
23-21 from right. Chris Brown of BuffaloBills.com. Well, thanks for joining us, and have a good time covering the game today.
Take care, fellas.
Thank you, Chris.
So behind enemy lines, Chris Brown of BuffaloBills.com. So he falls in line with Paul.
Yeah, and just so you know, after listening to the
So they both work for Bills.com.
I want to say this. The way he talked about the Patriots, I feel less and less good about the prediction I've made.
Well, they're not the Lions.
You know, fading the Patriots, certainly not the Lions. I feel less and less strong about my pick. Thanks, Chris.
Quit covering your bases, you fence boy.
Is that three in a row? Out-of-town reporters that picked their team? We're on a little bit of a run here.
I was looking at Kevin because I thought he was keeping track of those this year, but he gave me his stupid look.
No, I am. The opposing beat writers I have, their record is 2-2.
No, but that doesn't mean anything.
Who'd they pick?
I believe that the Kansas City guy picked
tits on a bowl. I'm going to say it again. He's tits on a bowl.
The Kansas City guy
took Kansas City.
And then last week, definitely. Cincinnati.
Definitely took Cincinnati.
Okay, so three in a row.
Yeah, it's three in a row.
Well,
all right, we got to get upstairs.
Well, thanks for tuning in to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. We'll be back after the game today with the Xbox One post-game show. Patriots and Bills, it's on Fox. Fox. Look for Fox. All right, we're out.
This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now, it's game time as the Patriots take on the Buffalo Bills.
Patriots tight formation. Quick hitter Brady with a play pick and an open. Aaron Dodson down the right side. Headed to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Be sure to tune in to Patriots.com radio for the Xbox One Patriots postgame show immediately following the game.
Two receivers left, two to the right. Brady on a deep drop looking to throw. He pumps in the pocket. He fires down the middle. A wide open Amendola. Touchdown, Patriots!
Log on to Patriots.com all week for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.